big sacrifice to bring me from the other side of the world, and I feel very ill-equipped to be able to share with you people. So, but I do pray that God will bless us. And our theme for this camp for on my side is to be burning and shining lights. And that's what God wants to make us all into, burning and shining lights. But because you're probably a little bit sleepy at 7 o'clock at night, when we are burning and shining lights, when God has saved us, we are full of joy, no matter how difficult the circumstances is, how horrible our circumstances is. And if you all stand up, I'll tell you how we are, which you're going to do with me. So we are full of joy when God has made us into a shining light. Is that right? Full of joy? So, you're going to do it with me. I'm in right, out right, upright, down right, happy all the time. I'm in right, out right, upright, down right, happy all the time. Since Jesus Christ came in and cleansed my heart from sin, I'm in right, out right, upright, down right, happy all the time. So we're going to do it once more. I'm in right, out right, upright, down right, happy all the time. I'm in right, out right, upright, down right, happy all the time. Since Jesus Christ came in and cleanse my heart from sin. I'm in right, out right, upright, down right, happy all the time. Now, how do we keep our light shining? What are two things that we can do to keep our light shining? What are the two things that are very essential? Can somebody tell me? Yes?
Pray.
That's right. Pray is one of them. What's the other one?
Read the Bible.
That's right. So we read our Bible and we pray every day. And what happens to our light? You know, in a candle, you can set the light higher. Gross. All right. So you're going to sing with me? Read your Bible. Pray every day. Pray every day. Pray every day. Read your Bible, pray every day, and you grow, 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 and you grow, 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 and you grow, grow, grow. Read your Bible, pray every day, and you grow, grow, grow. But forget your Bible, forget to pray. Forget to pray, forget to pray. Forget your Bible, forget to pray. And you shrink, shrink, shrink. And you shrink, shrink, shrink. And you shrink, shrink, shrink. Forget your Bible, forget to pray. And you shrink, shrink, shrink. Well, we're going to sing that one in Afrikaans next time. I'm going to teach you one Afrikaans song today. It's the question I want all of us to ask ourselves tonight. And that is, are we still entangled in sin and surrounded by darkness? Because our first subject is, in the beginning, darkness. So, who knows the tune of the wise man built his house upon the rock? Do you all know that? All right. Now, as ons in sonde vasgevang. Are you going to get that right? As ons in sonde vasgevang. As ons in sonde vasgevang, deur duisternis omring. Do you think you'll get it right? Did it turn off the voice? As, what is it? As ons in sonde vasgevang, as ons in sonde vasgevang, as ons in sonde vasgevang, deur duisternis omring. Shall we try it once more? Alright? As ons in sonde vasgevang, as ons in sonde vasgevang, as ons in sonde vasgevang, deur duisternis omring. And that's what we're going to ask ourselves tonight. Now we can all sit. And I'm just going to say a word of prayer. Oh, Father, we just ask Thee to please come and speak to every one of us. And Lord, tonight, let us realize the awfulness of sin and the horror it is to be lost in darkness. and how thou dost come to give thy light to change us, Lord, and to cleanse us and to set us alight. May we hear thy voice, and I pray and I call upon thee to speak through me tonight as I share. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, our subject for today, under burning and shining lights, is darkness at the beginning. Darkness at the beginning. Now, if you go right back to the beginning of the Bible, we will find that in Genesis 1, verse 1 to 4, God says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the deep, and God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. Now, in the beginning of time, the earth was dark and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And then suddenly God comes and he says these wonderful words. He says, let there be light. And what does God do with the light and the darkness? He immediately divides the light from the darkness. Now, just as the physical world was in darkness at the beginning, so the spiritual world very soon was also filled with darkness. And in the same, as much as the physical world, the world we know, needed that light, so the spiritual world, men's hearts, need the light of God to dispel the darkness. Darkness upon the waters, brooding, chaotic mass, a picture of the darkness of sin, man's wretchedness. But then a word was spoken, a command from on high. The darkness separated, fled as the light drew nigh. So too, to darkened sinners, the light of God can come. Darkness will flee. Our Savior can say his work well done. Because when the Lord Jesus had created the light in the day, he said, it is good. And that's what he says when he dispels the darkness in our hearts. Well, what happened to the inhabitants of the earth once they were created? We all remember that Adam and Eve, they were the first people who were created. Eh? But sadly, they chose darkness above the light. If we go right back to the Garden of Eden, we will see the Garden of Eden had hardly been created so beautifully by God before Adam and Eve defied God and chose darkness rather than light. And they started their sin, and then they were thrown out of the Garden of Eden, and it wasn't long before the sin just got worse and worse and worse. Until in Genesis 6 verse 5 we read these words, and God saw that the wickedness of man, that means everybody, was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Now, it became so dark upon the earth, so full of sin, that God was so disappointed that he had made man. Now, God actually made man to have fellowship with him. He communed with him. In the Garden of Eden, he showered him with his blessings, but they became so wicked. Adam and Eve were thrown out of the Garden of Eden, and man just got worse and worse and worse, until every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil. And then what did God do? He decided, all right, I'm going to destroy the whole earth that I've created. In sorrow he decided to do that. And there's one man in all the earth that is still wanting to follow me. His name was Noah. And he said, I'm going to take this man and his family, and I'm going to preserve them. And perhaps they will turn to the light, and they will follow the light, and they will be a light, and they will stem all this wickedness and darkness that had come upon the earth. So God wanted to start up this light again. And so he saved Noah. We all know about Noah and the ark, eh? There's nobody that doesn't know about Noah and the ark. So God preserved Noah. And now, if you think of how much God had warned the whole world through what happened, and how Noah must have known how God hates sin. And then when they had their children and their children, you'd think they'd stop. all the sin that they'd got into. But they didn't. And it wasn't long before the world just got bad and bad and worse and worse and worse, and wickedness took over again. Now there's a verse in the Bible that explains this. In Jeremiah 13 verse 10, we read this verse. This evil people, this is describing what man had become. This evil people which refuse to hear my words. Which refuse to hear my words. You know, we might think, how could they be so awful? How could they be so silly? I mean, they've come... They know about the flood. They know how God hates sin. They know how God judges sin. How could they become so darkened that they refuse to listen to God's voice? But you know, God speaks to each one of us. And He speaks to us again and again and again. And what do? We also close our ears to God's voice. And we close our eyes to the light, because we do not want the light. So the man, it says in Romans 1:21, when he describes man, it says their foolish heart was darkened. And that's what happens to across the world. As history goes from the beginnings of the Bible to the Bible times to early church history, man chooses darkness above light. They don't want God's light. They don't want to follow God. I mean, if you think of the Garden of Eden, it was everything that man could have desired. I mean, if I could have lived in the Garden of Eden, I wouldn't have had to work for my bread. I'd just have to go and eat from the trees. It was all ideal. But even in this ideal situation, men chose darkness rather than light. Why did this happen? I mean, how come Eve sinned? Why did she sin? Well, it starts before the creation of the world. Before the creation of the world, there was the angels. And the Lord Jesus tells us a verse in Luke 10, verse 18. He said, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. What Satan wanted to do, he also rebelled against God before the creation of the world. And he wanted to be equal with God. And God threw him out of heaven. And God threw him to know that he's going to live in hell for the rest of his eternal existence. And because Satan was thrown down into the earthly realm, he decided he doesn't want to be alone in hell. So what does he do? He tries to lure each one of us to choose darkness rather than light, because he wants us to end up in hell like he is. And it's very, very sad. And that's why it's very important that we realize, when we don't want to listen to God speaking to our hearts, it's actually Satan that is helping us and blocking our ears to turn our back on God. In Ephesians 2 verse 2, it describes people who follow Satan. He said, you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Why do you disobey God? It's because the devil tempts you to block your ears and your eyes to him. The snake, the serpent, the devil came into the Garden of Eden, and Eve thought it's more advantageous to disobey God than to obey him. To obey him would have been light, to disobey him would have been darkness. And now the spiritual, the physical, the social world, right up to our present day, is full of darkness and despair. Because if you're without God, you're without hope. We must never, ever, ever forget where the darkness came from. The darkness comes from Satan himself. And that is how dangerous he is. He tempted Adam and Eve. He tempts us. He is the prince of darkness. And if you haven't opened your heart yet to the Lord Jesus Christ, to cleanse your heart, to flood it with his light, to turn from darkness to light, to accept him, you are under the power of Satan, the prince of darkness. Satan, the prince of darkness, would have us cling to him. He blocks thoughts of repentance, bids us go on with sin. Why is Satan so eager to bid us defy God? Is it perhaps to drag us in the path he has trod? Realize the danger you're in. When to his voice you heed, resist these evil whispers. Rather, for God's light, plead. Have you ever walked in the pitch darkness? You know, I've been in darkness where it's so dark, it feels as if the darkness is a solid wall. I feel as if I need to have a saw, and I must saw through the darkness to get through it. And what I need to get through the darkness is a light. Now, I know of a lady, she was in Africa, and she was at this big center area, and everybody had been in this meeting till late. It was pitch dark. So everybody was going back to their rooms, and everybody had a torch in their hands. Now, there was ditches, it's very uneven ground, and this lady didn't have a torch. So somebody came to her and she said to her, "Listen here, you're going to fall. This is disastrous. You're going to hurt yourself. You need a torch. You can have my torch. I'll walk with this person." She said, "No, I don't need a torch. I can see perfectly." Well, about a minute later, she fell. But she didn't only fall. She fell right down into a ditch, and she landed up in hospital. She thought she could get on without a light. Now, there's another lady that also was out in the dark, and there was a room that was even darker than what it was, and somebody offered her a light to go into this room. She was going to a place she didn't know, and she said, "No, I don't need a light. I can see perfectly. And she, of course, also landed on her face. She thought she could do without the light. It's so sad when we refuse the light that God offers to us, the Lord Jesus Christ. We are as bad as those two ladies that wouldn't take the light and that fell. And we fall. We continually fall. Why did Eve want the fruit? It looked good for food. It was pleasant to the eyes. It would make herself wise. And that's exactly how the devil presents darkness to us and to sin. You know, people might offer, we've got telephones, and they'd say, "Well, why don't you just look at this site on the telephone? It's very interesting. Why don't you look at this on the internet? Why don't you listen to this story? Why don't you watch that film?" There are all sorts of ways the devil comes, and he makes, why do you have to be the one that's out? Why do you have to be the one that doesn't know all the things that the others know? Why don't you just test the perimeters and try and see how far you can go? That's what the kind of thing that Satan presents to us all the time. And why do people like darkness above light? Because they don't want to be accountable to God. Because as we read in the little booklet, the moment God's light comes upon us, we're going to see ourselves as we really are. And we're going to see how we stand before Him. And when we stand before God, who is holy, we will see how very sinful and darkened and dark-filled we are. Satan would whisper and comfort you and tell him you don't need the light and you're safe and just carry on as the way you are. It's fine. Nothing drastic has happened. You haven't had a terrible tumble yet. And he's talking to you in Afrikaans. We've got a word for it. Hey, paio. He's just comforting. Go on. Just stay on. Just whatever you do, don't turn towards the light. And before you know it, you could end in the darkness of hell itself. We cannot play the fool with God. God holds His light out to us. It is our responsibility whether we turn and we grasp the light, or if we turn our back on the light and hug the darkness. How dreadfully the darkened depravity of man, who clings to sin and will not accept salvation's plan, willful and disobedient, this man who will not see, marching forwards, approaching a lost eternity. Groping in darkness blindly, men fall right into hell, over the edge, unheeding, while they breathe, all is well. You know, Satan is going to continually tell us, everything's fine, don't worry, you're doing fine, you're not doing too badly, just look at all the other people, look how bad they are. You're not really in the darkness, you think you're in the darkness, but you're fine. And we will slip in the same way right into hell itself. Now, the horrible thing about a darkness is that it makes us like blind people. We cannot see. We can feel, but we cannot see. So if we cannot see, can we see where we're heading? We don't realize where we're heading. Now, John 11 verse 10 says, But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth because there is no light in him. Even when God holds out his light to us as young people, we often prefer the darkness. Why do we prefer the darkness? Because we know we will be exposed. We know we will suddenly begin to realize what is wrong in our lives. We will see ourselves as God sees us, and we won't be able to pretend that we are fine. The moment we just say, Lord, please, speak to me. I want to hear thy voice. I want to repent. I want to turn from my sins. We really are going to begin to see ourselves as we are. You know, when Isaiah was in the presence of God, who was holy and lifted up, what is the first thing Isaiah said? I'm a man of unclean lips. The moment we really open our hearts to the light, we will be conscious of how full of sin we are. And it will help us to repent, to admit our heart is darkened, and that our thoughts are dark and unacceptable to God, and to open our hearts for His light. What does the light do? It banishes the darkness. The light comes in, and the darkness has to flee. You cannot mix night and day. You cannot mix light and darkness. If we allow God to flood our souls, then what will happen is the darkness, the sin in our lives, will have to be dealt with. We can say, well, you know, the light hasn't really been held out to me. I haven't really been made to be conscious of my sin. But, you know, in this very meeting and in this afternoon's earlier meeting, God was holding out His light to you. And He was saying to you, what are you going to do with my light? Are you going to respond? Are you going to open your life to me? Are you going to allow me to cleanse your heart? Or are you just going to close it up and hug the darkness to yourself? In Loved Ones, we read the story of a 78-year-old woman. Who's 8 years over years? Is there somebody that's 8? All right, you're 8 years old. Well, this lady was 70 years older than you. But perhaps you felt like she felt. She felt she hadn't really done anything drastically wrong. She felt she was good. This woman was a good wife. She was a good mother. She was a kind neighbor. She was good to people around us. And she felt that if people said she was in darkness, she wasn't really in darkness at all, because she was living such so much better life than other people around her. And so people said to her, you know, until you open your life to the Lord Jesus Christ, until you repent to your, of your sin, until you tell the Lord you are a sinner, you are in darkness, and you need Him to cleanse your heart, you are still on your road to hell. You are still enclosed in the darkness of sin. But she said, how can you say that to me? I am so much better than all the other people around. And so she just wouldn't listen. But people were very burdened for her, so they spoke to her, and they spoke to her, and they spoke, and she got so irritated that she'd say, oh, no, I agree with you. No, what you say is true. That's fine. No, that's right. But when they turn their back, then she says, oh, I can't stand it. They are so, I mean, who do they think I am? And she just wouldn't listen until one day, after much prayer, somebody spoke to her, and she suddenly realized how full of darkness her heart really was. She had pretended to be religious, and she opened her heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, and He saved her. And this is what she said. She said, I lived 78 years in darkness, but now God's light has entered my soul. And the light of God has been turned on. And you know, that's what happens when God's light comes in. He dispels the darkness and He sets us alight. Now, we may be like this woman. We stumble on in the darkness, unheeding. We've got a don't care attitude. We laugh because other people are concerned about our souls, because they speak earnestly to us. And we think, what are they doing? I mean, I'm not that bad. I'm not that bad. You know, in Noah's time, for 100 years, he warned the people that God was going to judge them. And for 100 years, they laughed at him. But there was a day when the door of the ark was closed upon Noah and the seven with him. And the rain started to fall. And the floods came. And suddenly they realized, but what he said was true. And then they ran, I'm sure they ran to the ark, and they screamed. But he couldn't open the door because God had closed the door.
And in the same way, God speaks to us. We try and pretend we're not in darkness, but God is speaking to us. He's warning to us. He's calling us. And we say, no, it's fine. There's still lots of time. I'm still so young. I'm 12. I'm 8. I'm 9. I'm 16. I'm 18. I'm 22. I mean, I've still got lots of time to still carry on in this comfortable darkness. And the day comes when God closes the door and our chance is gone forever. And then there's no more chance to turn and accept and embrace the light. We refuse to stretch out our hands towards the light. Now, when I was a child, I grew up with candles. And later, we had paraffin lamps. Do you have paraffin lamps here? Do you know paraffin lamps where you put the oil in the bottom and there's a paraffin and there's a little wick? Do you know it? All right, so we had paraffin lamps. And then later, my father had a generator, like a little engine. And it used to light a few lights in the house. And so he used to pull this little thing again and again. And suddenly the lights came on. It was wonderful. Well, one day we were visiting my granny. Every Friday we visited my granny. And the whole family used to sit along a long table. And we all had our supper there. And then we went home. But it was pitch dark when we got home. So my father would go into the house and there was a long passage and he would feel his way. I don't know why we didn't have torches, don't ask me, but he used to feel his way and then get to the kitchen and put a little candle on. And then he used to move again out to the little shed room and he used to pull the generator and put on the few lights that were connected to it. But he said to us, now children, wait until the generator has been put on. And then you can go into the house because you're going to trip over stuff. But now I was holding my mom's antique doll. My mom had an antique doll in my hands. So I was holding the antique doll and I thought to myself, it's a long passage and that passage is straight. It's got no turns. And there is a candle at the end of that long passage in the kitchen. If I close my eyes and if I hold my doll and if I run down the passage with my eyes closed, it doesn't matter how dark it is, I'm going to get to that little light at the end. It's fine. I'll be safe. So I said to my sister, I'm going to do that. They said, no, you're not. I said, yes, I am. So anyway, but my brother, who's very naughty, he heard me. So what did he do? He creeps into the passage ahead and he's lying across the passage. So now I'm already scared and now I have to run down the passage because I told my sisters I would. So I close my eyes, I've got the doll, and I run. But of course, he's lying across the passage. So what happened to me? Whoops, screams and shouts and anger. And I'm sure probably a little bit more. But anyway, but you know what? I learned a very important lesson. I learned how dangerous it is to run without a light. How dangerous the darkness can really be. My poor old doll from my mother ended up with a big crack, which she still has to this day. You cannot go in the dark and be safe. You need God's light. And I realized that as a little girl. So in a spiritual sense, we need to say to ourselves, we might even say to ourselves, you know what, it's not as dark as everybody says. I mean, they make sin out to be so bad. They're the kind of things we see on the internet, the kind of things I secretly look at on my phone, the kind of connections I have via my phone, all these things that people say are bad, even the parties or the whatever, you know, they say it's bad, but it's not really as bad as they make it out to be. And so I can make it without God's light. Because you see, the moment God's light comes in, then we're going to stop doing those things that displease God. So what happens? I go without the light and I fall and I fall and I hurt myself and I hurt other people. And then later, if I don't embrace the light, I end up in what is the end of all the darkness? What is the darkest place we end up eventually? Yes? It's hell itself. You see, if I don't take the light. Why does the darkness not want the light? It's because they know that once they have the light and allow the light in their hearts, they're going to have to stop doing wrong. Stop doing what displeases God. When the light comes in, the darkness gets expelled and thrown out in it. That's how God works. Now, just as the physical world was steeped in darkness, so the spiritual world, every one of our souls, is in darkness until the light has entered our soul. Every single person. Romans 5:12, wherefore as by one man sin entered the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men. All men, and when it says men, it means men and women, for that all have sinned. Nobody is excluded. We're all born in sin. We all start off as sinners. We're all lost. We're all condemned. We all face the judgment of God. We cannot point to Adam and Eve and say, well, they are the ones that sinned. You know, when I was a little girl, I thought like that. I thought, well, why do I have to suffer because Eve didn't listen to the snake? I mean, it's she that did wrong. You know, why do I have to suffer? But you know, there's two verses. It says, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. 1 John 1 verse 8. So, that's the sin that we get from Adam and Eve. But what does verse 10 say? If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is in us. I got to the place as a little girl where I said, well, it was her fault that she sinned. But I must admit, I've also sinned. And there's not one of us in this room that can turn around and say, I've never sinned. That is not true. All of us have sinned. All of us face the judgment of God. All of us are in darkness unless God's light has expelled the darkness. Now the wonderful thing is God's light comes to all of us. In John chapter 1 it says, the light, it speaks of the Lord Jesus as the light, and it says it lighteth every man who comes into the world. Now, how does God light every man that comes into the world? Well, Psalm 19 verse 3, Romans 1 verse 20 says the creation shines upon us. And it says, God created us. You can see God created us. What have you done about this God who created us? So the creation speaks to us. The prophets cried out. The preachers and the speakers and the sharers cry out to us. And God's word speaks to us and tells us about the light and shows up the light to us. All of them point to the light. The light lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Why every man? Because every person needs the light. The light is offered to us now, but the time may come when we don't see the light anymore. When we become so hardened in our darkness that we've absolutely closed our eyes to not see the light. I too am born a sinner with darkness in my soul, tainted by Adam's failure, needing to be made whole. In God's eyes, far from perfect, unrighteous, falling short, unable to appease him, condemned in heaven's court. Self-righteousness, that means when I pretend that I'm good enough, that I don't need God to save me. Self-righteousness is fatal. It is darkness in God's eyes, condemned if I embrace it with Satan, prince of lies. God's light has shone upon me. Incessantly it shone, but I refused its entrance. Therefore that light, now gone. Now the sad result of darkness is that the darkness rules in our hearts and it makes us so blind that we often stumble. Now in Isaiah also describes the blindness. He says we grope for the wall like the blind. We grope as if we have no eyes. We stumble at noonday as in the night. We are in desolate places as dead men. Well, you know, when you're blind, you don't realize where you're going. So a blind person could be climbing and there could be a sheer drop. And because they're blind, they don't see and they can go over the precipice. And so life is like a road that has a precipice. But that precipice goes straight down to hell. And we can, if we refuse God's voice in our hearts, if we refuse to listen to him, we'll be like blind people walking and walking. We don't realize we're going closer and closer to the edge. Now, in the old books, we sometimes read about a thing called a will of the wisp. Does anybody know about a will of the wisp? What is it? Yes?
It's a spirit.
It's a what?
It's a young spirit that's been abandoned.
A spirit. All right. It's like a light. Hey, it's atmospheric. Yeah.
Like a light of a person.
Yeah.
Like their soul.
Oh, all right. Well, Well, the will-o'-the-wisp is like an atmospheric light. And what happens is when people are lost in the bogs and the forests and very dangerous areas, what happens is this will-o'-the-wisp looks just like the real thing. It looks like a light. And when the people suddenly are lost, they don't know where to go, they're scared, they're frightened, they think, oh, if I can only just see a little cottage light, something to guide us out of this dangerous area that we're in, and they see a will-o'-the-wisp. And you know what the will-o'-the-wisp does? They start following it. And when they follow it, it goes further and further back. And it's a very dangerous light, because that will-o'-the-wisp light will take them right over the edge of a cliff. It will take them into the quicksand. It will land them in the bogs. And very often, in Victorian days, they tell us that it led people to their doom, to their death. Now, there are will-o'-the-wisps that want to lead us astray. And we will end up in the quicksand of hell itself. The world is full of these will-o'-the-wisps. Now, one of these will-o'-the-wisps is the one that says to us, if you grow up in a Christian home, if you grow up religious, you will automatically become a Christian. So if you were born into a Christian family, if you read the Bible right from the start, if you prayed every night, if you go to church with your parents, then you're not in darkness. You weren't born in darkness. You don't need the light. That is light enough for you to get into heaven. I've come across so many people that have said to me, you know what? I don't need to become a Christian. I've been a Christian my whole life. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. The Lord Jesus said, I am the light of the world. And he is the only light that will dispel our sin and our darkness. We dare not follow that will-o'-the-wisp. There's another will-o'-the-wisp that is a very hard one. It says, well, you know, for God to save me, I must improve myself. I must try and be better. And once I am good enough, then God will think I'm worthy enough to save me. So I must better myself. And then when I'm just at the right place, God will save me. It's horrible, because you can try and try and try and try, but you'll never be good enough. We have to come to God and say, God, I'm a sinner. I am full of the darkness of sin. I need thy light. I'm not good enough. I need it. I can't make it on my own. How many travelers lost their way in the fast, dark forest gloom? Will-o'-the-wisp, the reason they had met their pending doom. It was so dark that as the light beckoned, they followed on without a thought that it was false. Their confidence was won. How sad if we also are caught by the false lights that lure, that bid us follow them, for they are trusted, proved, and sure. Our only safety is Christ's light, for he and he alone has died upon the cross for us, for dark sin did atone. If we have never come to the Lord Jesus Christ and said, I am a sinner, I repent of my sins, please come into my heart, flood it with thy light, wash away all that which is wrong, we are still in darkness. We've spoken about darkness from the beginning of the time, right at the beginning of creation. We find the physical darkness, and it wasn't long before we found the spiritual darkness. And what we need to see is how dark the darkness is. We mustn't be like those two ladies that said, I don't need the light. I don't need God to save me. I'm good enough. I'm not really in the darkness at all. Rather, we should see our desperate need for God's light to illuminate, set alight our souls. Darkness at the beginning, before God let light form, a picture of the darkness of man till he is reborn. Darkness and light opposing, as sin and righteousness, either the one or other, God's peace or wretchedness. Each person born a sinner with darkness in the soul, till Christ the light beams on them, transforms them, makes them whole. But you know, it's the tragedy is that it's possible to get used to the darkness. You adjust your eyes and suddenly the darkness doesn't seem so dark anymore. You become hardened in the darkness. When I was a little girl in my grandparents' home, when there were a few of us, not when I was on my own, then when I used to wake up and it was terribly dark as a little girl, I used to first want to get scared, but then I realized my cousins are all there. And then what I used to do is I used to squint my eyes. And you know, when you squint your eyes in the darkness, suddenly the darkness doesn't seem so dark anymore. You sort of, your eyes get used to the darkness. And then I wasn't really scared. Now, it reminds me of somebody who said, you know, I used to think it was terrible to do those things, but I've done it so many times already that it doesn't seem so bad anymore. What has happened to that person? They've squinted their eyes and they've got used to the things that they'd fallen into. But if we're a group in the dark and we hold hands, then it isn't so scary. But if you're alone in the dark and it's pitch dark and you suddenly wake up in the middle of the night, then it is scary. When I was little, it was very dark and I used to wake up. And then we've got lots of break-ins and things that happen in South Africa. So we got scared. You know, as children, when we wake up alone in a room, we'd think, oh, I hope there isn't somebody in the room. And my mom always used to have coats hanging. And you know, when you're scared and you look and you see a coat, then that suddenly that coat has got legs. And if you see a hat, that hat has got a face underneath it. I can still remember vividly as a child so many times that I'm just absolutely frozen with horror. And I think, who is there at the end of the room? And then, you know what? What did I do? I opened my mouth and I screamed, Mommy, Daddy, help! I'm scared. And then within seconds, my mom and dad would run, one of them, and they'd take my shivering form in their loving arms, and my sobs would come to a halt. We too are in the dark. We also need to realize how dark the darkness of sin really is. We are under the condemnation of God. We are on our way to hell itself. Do we realize how dark it is? There was a man who was a doctor. He was standing this man and his heart stopped beating for quite a long time, and then eventually he was able to revive him. It was a miracle. The moment the man came out of that, he said, please, doctor, I need to get saved. After he called my family and he said, you must get saved. So the doctor said, what happened? I've been speaking to you for so long. He said, doctor, when I was at the edge of death, he said, if you saw what I saw, you'd also be as desperate as I am. I don't think we realize what it is that we're heading for if we have not allowed God to cleanse us from sin and to flood us with his light. Just as a little child, I scream for help as a child. So God wants us to call upon him in our day of trouble, to turn to him for the light. It says, thou art my lamp, my light. The Lord will lighten my darkness. That is what we need. In a moment, God can drive the darkness of sin away, and he can flood us with his light. Stumbling within the darkness, condemned and facing hell. We may become accustomed thinking that all is well. Thus not call out for mercy, hardened our darkened heart, not realizing God's love can flood us, new life impart. When I was small and frightened, within a darkened room, I cried, oh, come and help me. Oh, please dispel this gloom. We too, in sin's dread darkness, can cry to God that he will lighten, flood our being, and let our darkness flee. Amen.